May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, for the kids, I realize it doesn't have a children's message in the bulletin. Pastor Petzold had asked me about that, and I've got some stuff in the sermon itself that's going to enable us to focus a little more on you and even have you come forward later in the sermon. But the title that I have selected for today's message is The Secret Revealed. And if you were listening as the epistle lesson was read, you kind of probably have already picked up on what I'm referring to there. The text is Colossians chapter 1, specifically the last few verses. I don't know how many of you have been watching, but for the past several weeks now, the television audience has been experiencing the joy, the pain, and even the embarrassment of tryouts and now competition on America's Got Talent. Any of you been watching? Okay, I see a few hands back there. Now, I realize that there are much better television programs to watch. More intellectually stimulating, more entertaining, but I know, sometimes a person needs a little mindless action to get rid of the stress. And that being said, I will have to admit that Mary and I have often in the past watched America's Got Talent. This year, not so much. I mean, with all the grandkids involved in baseball and softball, there really hasn't been a whole lot of time to do that. But it was interesting because one of our grandsons actually had us watch an act from one of the earliest episodes this year of a magician, which was always one of my favorite things to watch on AGT anyway. I marvel sometimes at what these magicians, the tricks that they can perform. But I have to tell you, I am no magician. But how many of you, maybe saw that hanging there wondering if I forgot something. I didn't forget it. It was there for a reason. It's a piece of rope. How many of you believe that I can tie this rope, and this is where the kids come in, you know, that I can tie this rope in a knot without letting go of either hand? If you've ever tried to tie a rope in a knot, you know you can't tie a knot without letting go, right? It just isn't possible. Or is it? Of course, on the basis of our text, I'm going to leave that for later. I'd have to say that our Heavenly Father was no magician either. After all, what do they say? There's America's Got Talent, there's the magician, I forgot to advance my slides. But a magician never reveals his secrets. But our Heavenly Father has revealed his secret. For although, as St. Paul puts it, we were once strangers to God and in our minds enemies, we've now been reconciled to him. In other words, according to Paul, there is hope for glory to be found in God's Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what is even more amazing is that this hope is not just for a chosen few, but for everyone. Of course, this secret hasn't always been known. In fact, as Paul puts it in our text, this secret actually remained hidden for generations. Now, that isn't to say that no mention was ever made of it. I mean, already in the garden, God had made his promise that a child would be born who would crush the head of the serpent, thereby freeing all men from bondage to sin, death, and hell. And I think it's safe to say that promise has been repeated time and time again to remind God's people that he was still looking out for them, that nothing, not even enabling an old woman to bear a son, as we just heard about in our Old Testament lesson, was too hard for the Lord. And yet, even though this secret was spoken of numerous times down through the centuries, in a sense, it still remained hidden. For one, it remained hidden until everything was just right historically. That is, until Rome was in control, with her universal language and her easily navigable roads, or till Quirinius was governor of Syria and Caesar Augustus announced his tax plan that required everyone to go back to the city of their ancestors. At the same time, God's secret remained hidden until everything was just right spiritually. Till a vacuum of sorts had been created by God's 400 years of silence, the time between the Testaments, thereby causing an ever-increasing sense of eager expectation for this so-called Messiah to come. Or till the religious leaders had so burdened the people with their legalism that they were literally crying out for someone to set them free. And yet, even though this secret remained hidden all those years, God did eventually reveal it. That is, after all of the waiting and all of the hoping, he finally demonstrated just what he had been talking about all those centuries, that mankind's only hope of glory is to be found not in ceremonialism, not in angel worship or some other form of strict denial of self, as was actively being promoted in and around Colossae at that time, but in him who had died for them and been raised again. In fact, this is why Paul was writing to the Colossians in the first place, to counteract all of these false teachings or false philosophies that were on the verge of leading God's people astray, to remind them that it wasn't a matter of knowing a better way, but of acknowledging the only way. After all, what did Jesus once say? I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Unfortunately, there are still those who would like us to think that there are other ways. Like the woman I read about just recently who really didn't believe in things spiritual, but rather claimed it didn't matter what you believed. What mattered was that what you did with your life. And while I would agree that it's important what a person does with his or her life, what is even of even greater importance is where we put our trust. And as Paul points out, the only one in whom we should be putting our trust is God. For as he points out in our text, without him, we're nothing but strangers, enemies doing evil things. But if we become one with him, if we are brought to faith in him as the Colossians had been, and remain in that faith as Paul was encouraging them to do, then because of all God has done and continues to do for us, we will have hope. hope for a better tomorrow, hope for an eternal glory. You see, the Lord has literally pulled back the curtain. Remember the temple curtain being torn from in two from top to bottom? You know, he pulled back the curtain almost like a magician would do to reveal that it was through the suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we have been reconciled to him, that we can now go directly to our Heavenly Father, believing that he has suffered and died to save us from our sins, making it possible for us to be presented as holy and blameless before God, not because of anything we have done, but simply because of God's grace and his mercy. In fact, that, my brothers and sisters, is the secret which remained hidden for all those generations, but which, as Paul now writes, has now been made known to his saints. Of course, as amazing as all of that is, the one thing that makes it even more amazing is that, contrary to what some people might think, this is not just for a select few, but rather it's for all people. What does it say in Scripture? Christ died for all. God would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, I realize the Jews still have a hard time believing that. And in some sense, that's probably understandable when one takes into account that they had been God's chosen people, and that as his chosen people, they had been lulled into believing that they had an automatic ticket to paradise. In fact, that's most likely what was leading some of the people there and around Colossae to actually teach that you first had to become a Jew before you could truly be a Christian. But then that's a battle that's still being waged even today. For there are still people who believe that salvation can only be found if you are a part of a select group. In fact, I would imagine there's maybe some of you here have heard the story of the man who, while being given a tour of heaven, was told to be quiet as they went past a particular room up there in heaven, that was where the Lutherans were, and as the guide said, they think they're the only ones up here. And we might chuckle. Yet there are also those who believe that salvation can only be found by living a God-pleasing life, or at least living according to a prescribed set of rules and or standards. People who, like Martha in our gospel lesson, are so busy doing things in various capacities that they literally have little time left for studying and hearing the one thing needful, God's Word. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we shouldn't serve the Lord. In fact, all of us are to serve the Lord by serving others. And one of the best ways we can do that is by helping with the ministry of the local congregation. But that in no way, shape, or form can take the place of being in personal or corporate Bible study. That in no way, shape, or form should take the place of regular attendance in worship or of literally spending time at Jesus' feet. After all, the reality, as Paul points out, is that people are saved not from the outside, but from within, Christ in us. It doesn't matter how many good things you do, what you make of your life. What matters is what you believe. And that, my friends, is a message we all need. That is, everyone needs to be warned and taught, especially as we draw ever closer to the end. For everyone will one day be presented before the Lord. The question is, will you be declared perfect in Christ? Now, I kind of left you guys hanging at the beginning of the service, right? When I said that, asked if you thought I could tie this rope in a knot without letting go. How many of you kids think I can do that? That's a big kid over there. I'm glad you have that much confidence. Come on down. The kids, come on up front. Okay? This is where we get the kids involved. Go ahead and sit down here on the floor in front of me. I want you to... Are there any knots in that rope? No. No knots in that rope, right? Do you think I can tie a knot in it without letting go? You think so? Well, I bet, I'm glad you got confidence in me. Let's see if I can do it, okay? Yay. You don't know how long I practiced that one. You want to see me do it again? I took the knot back out of it.
Don't forget.
Huh? Yeah, right. I am getting old, ain't I? Whoop, there we go. There it is again.
That
now,
looks
what?
That looks like a sock.
Yeah. Did I let go of the rope? At any time? No. Did I tie a knot in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. So it worked. It can be done. You can go back to your seats. Thank you for coming up. By the way, if you want to know how to do it, come downstairs after church and I'll show you. I'll even give you a piece of rope to take along home with you. Now, that may not have seemed like that big a deal. And I would agree with you, it wasn't that big a deal, even if I did have to practice a lot. But the secret Paul writes about here in our text is a big deal. In fact, the secret Paul writes about could literally mean the difference between life and death, spiritually speaking. Therefore, acknowledging the secret revealed, stand firm in your belief that the only hope for glory is found in Christ, so that each of you may one day be presented perfect before your Maker. At the same time, realizing that this is a secret that needs to be shared, warn everyone and teach everyone using every kind of wisdom in order to present everyone perfect in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.